And Father, we thank you that you've sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. We're not always good at admitting it, but sometimes we need help. Lord, we thank you that throughout the night when Glenna started to feel herself get anxious, she just asked you to help. And you did. Lord, help us to get better at that. Help us to get better at that. I'm just asking for your help and positioning ourselves so we can receive the help that you are so willing to offer. Thank you, Jesus. Someone once said, we all live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon. Vision. Well, I'm more interested probably in what's God's vision for the rest of your life. But I'm interested to see whether your vision for the rest of your life lines up with God's vision for the rest of your life. That's what I'm interested in. Automobile genius Henry Ford, for all the Ford lovers out there. We got at least one. Got none. Oh. Yeah. Cheer. Henry Ford came up with a revolutionary plan for a new kind of engine. Now, this is a long time ago. Ford was eager to get his great new idea into production. He had some men draw up some plans and presented them to the engineers. As the engineers studied the drawing, one by one, they came to the same conclusion. Their visionary boss just didn't know much about the fundamental principles of engineering. He'd have to be told gently his dream was impossible. "Go ahead," Ford commanded, "produce it anyway." They replied, "But it's impossible." "Go ahead," Ford commanded, "and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time is required." For 6 months, they struggled with the drawing after drawing, design after design, and nothing. At the end of the year, Ford checked with his engineers, and once again they told him that what he wanted was impossible. Ford told them to keep going. They did, and they discovered how to build a V8 engine. Now, I was down at Chrome Fest last night, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the sound of a V8 engine. Hey, come on, ladies, you got to just, not interested. So Chrome Fest still on, just a plug for the Central Coast until this afternoon, so get down there if you're into V8 engines. But the point of that story is, Ford had a vision that caused him to keep going when others would have quitted. And I believe when we get God's vision for our lives, it'll cause us to keep going when others would have quitted. So I want to know this morning, where's your horizon of your life? What do you see? I don't think this is a surprise for you, but there's no dress rehearsals for life. You only get one. There's no dress rehearsals for life. This is, just if you're wondering, this is not a practice. It's not a practice. You only get one. And I can tell you from a friend of mine who came to Jesus when he was 70 years of age, the Lord had a lot to do to remove his regret. And God can, and God does. But we only get one crack at this. So it's worth taking it seriously. How can we make the most of the rest of our lives? Let's go to the next slide. This is the passage we're looking at today, Romans 12, 1 to 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers." Interesting word there, isn't it? "God's mercy," in other words, that God is happy to forgive you in view of all that God has done for you, given you, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, die to ourselves. A sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Want to know how to worship? Give yourself to God. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then," see, this is key. You want to know what God's will for your life is? It comes out of the transformation experience. "Oh, I can't work out what God's will is." Well, let him transform you, and then you'll just step into it very naturally. That's what the passage is talking about. His good, pleasing, and perfect will, and we'll talk about that in a moment, what that means. So first point, this morning, and it's on your sheets there. If you want to follow it through, there's no blanks today. Made it easy for you. Number one, what do we do to make the most of the rest of our lives? Well, here's the first one. Break with the past. J.B. Phillips' translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. You know what? You've got to be pretty brutal with this one. You've got to be pretty brutal with this one. I don't know about you, but when I see a spider, I don't like spiders. And so when I see one, there's normally not much left when I'm finished. Because I just want to make sure it's gone to Jesus. And you know what, I found the same with my past, and sometimes it's past relationships, sometimes it's past habits. And I heard someone say a long time ago, if you are not ruthless with sin, sin will be ruthless with you. Maybe that's worth meditating on. If we are not ruthless with our past, if we're not almost violent in cutting that thing off, then it can and it will destroy us. It will steal your destiny. It'll steal your relationships. It will steal whatever it is that God wants you to have. And we just got to get really serious about that. What do you need to do to break with your past? One of the things I had to do was leave my hometown. Now, that's a big deal, friends. I had to pack up and move. Lucky it's only I got a job 100 kilometers away. But for me, it was far enough away to break with my past. I just had to do it. There wasn't another option for me. And every crossroads I've come to in my Christian life, even when I've been a Christian and God wants to take me to another level, I've had to break with past stuff. I had to leave a couple of mates behind because they were more committed to fun than to Jesus. And I sensed Jesus' call to give him all, and so I couldn't play anymore. Now, I still play, but it's not my priority. Loving God and loving people is my priority. So I had to break. I love those guys. I had coffee with one of them. You know, this is 15, 20 years ago. I had coffee with one of them, caught up with them last year. It was awesome. But I left playing behind because I was called to something higher. What do you need to break with? What do you need to cut off? What do you need to get serious about to break with your past? Because it's not just going to happen. This is where... The other part is the next slide. Make a new start. Be transformed. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change. It's the kind of change that turns a grub into a butterfly. And it's not, I just want to empathize with you, it's not easy. A friend of mine who's a pastor at the COC's church in Toronto, we went and hung out at his service one Sunday when we were on holidays. And he was a bug guy, you know, like he's into bugs, and he found this chrysalis and this butterfly that was kind of pushing its way out of the chrysalis. And he thought he would help it. Now, if you know anything about bugs, it's a really bad idea. So, you know, he helps break some off and helps this little critter get out of there, and it couldn't fly. You know why it couldn't fly? Because the pressure, the energy, the force of pushing itself out through the hole in the chrysalis is what gives its wings strength. Friends, what you're struggling with today could be the very struggle you go through to get to the point where you can fly. And if people come in and rescue you or you try to take the shortcut, you're never going to be able to fly as God intended you to fly. Sorry, I got nothing after that. I believe that though. Just heard on the radio this morning, if you listen to Greg Laurie, my gran was the same. You know, my gran inherited a fortune when she was probably in her 70s, a bit late then in some ways. But gran had grown up poor. And when Gran, you would not have known when Gran was in his 78, 80, you know, 90s, early 90s, that she was loaded because she still wore, you know, she had these old cardigans And Gran felt the cold, so she just put on another cardigan. You know, come on, Gran, like you could afford a really nice jacket now. No, I just keep wearing the cardigans. And you know, they say the same thing when freedom was declared, the proclamation of, what do they call that thing when the slaves were released, do you know? Yeah. That some slaves had been slaves for so long that when slavery was abolished in the States, that some of them just stayed on the plantations. Now, friends, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then you are a slave no more. But have you left the old plantation? Have you left the old plantation? Friends, I declare today a day to leave the old plantation. Today is a day when we mark a line in the sand. Today could be the day if you just make the choice to leave the plantation and draw a line in the sand. And you could walk in a freedom that you've never experienced before. You could have an impact on your friends and neighbors that you've never had before. Today could be the day. The choice is yours. I can't do it for you. God won't do it for you. But when you step that line, He will fully engage. He will fully engage, and you'll have a power, you have a wind behind you you possibly never experienced before. But we have to draw the line in the sand, and we have to step over it. I think I've messed up my point, so I'll follow this one. Keep going. Don't need to say anything about that. Love must be sincere. Where's my awesome example of this tonight, today? Is Nevaeh still in the room? Come on down. This is what insincere, I'm not talking about Nevaeh, but this is what the scriptures are talking about. When he's talking about sincere, love must be sincere, what it talks about, when the Bible talks about that is, take the masks off. While we're wearing a mask, love is not sincere. Okay? The Bible says love must be. You're not impacted by the love of God in this house? Take the masks off. You'll be impacted by the love of God because love must be sincere. Love must be, to have the full impact, love must be sincere. Thanks, Dar, that was awesome. Time to take the masks off. If the power of God, the love of God's not working for you, you've probably got a few masks on. You need to get rid of those things. Just get them off. Just get honest, get real, and see what God can do with that. The other one is there in Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The Greek word here is something I can't even pronounce. It's related to the root word for boiling in our spirit. Bubbling up. You ever seen? I saw some people bubbling up yesterday. I reckon Michael was bubbling up yesterday, wasn't he? Like, there's a guy who can drink. You want to know how to drink of the Spirit? Go and meet Michael. Hey? And Kathy. I was bubbling up. Glennis had a good drink yesterday, didn't you, Glennis? See, the Bible says, do not be filled with wine, but get drunk with the Spirit. Be filled. We're born to drink, people. But not alcohol. We're born to drink of the Holy Spirit. And when you get that Spirit in you, my gosh. People have changed nations with that Spirit. You get some other Spirit in you, and I tell you what, you're not going to change anything. Well, not for the better anyway. You mess some stuff up. But you get the Holy Spirit in you. Look out. Devil. The devil will get nervous when you get out of bed in the morning. It's a true story. History, you read history. When John Wesley, I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes a great story, and it probably is, because Wesley changed nations. And there's a story of he rolled over and thought he saw the devil or something like that at the foot of his bed, and he just said, I had a year, and rolled over and went back to sleep. Because he was secure in the power of God. He understood who God was. He understood who he was in God. And therefore understood the power of God to change nations Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Always be bubbling up. If you're not bubbling up today, then you need to have another drink. You need to position yourself so you can receive the Holy Spirit in a way that you're bubbling up. And like Glenna said, if in the middle of the night the enemy comes or our own flesh starts to bubble up, then we need to ask the Holy Spirit for Him to bubble up so that we can live the way He's called us to live. That's what messed me up. There were 3 points there. Hey. Next one. How do we make the most of the rest of our lives? Present our bodies. The main thing I want to point out here is, what's that mean? And if you unpack that verse, it says our priorities, our ambitions, our lifestyle. That's what we're putting on the altar. That's what we're giving up. Salvation is free. Just costs you your life. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, it'll only stay a single grain. But if we die, we'll find life. If we die to ourselves, we'll find life. So priorities, ambitions, lifestyle means that everything that we have, our time, our money, our abilities. It's interesting, one of the things that happens in the moment someone puts their trust in Jesus is their priorities change. You ever notice that? Don't tell them to me. If the love of Jesus has impacted your life, your priorities will change. Mine did. I've watched others' priorities change. That's how you know, friends. You just have a long look in the mirror. That's how you know whether Jesus actually have an impact in your life. You go, oh, look at that. I don't look like myself anymore. Of course I do on the outside. But I act differently. My priorities change. My plans change. I make time for God. I make time for what He wants me to do. I put His priorities before my priorities. That's what it looks like. How do we make the most of the rest of our lives? We be a living sacrifice. That means there's a cost. I love this. This is not mine. Jesus didn't come to make your life easy. He came to make it great. Can I just blow that lie out of the water? The world will tell you that you're meant, the world is bowing down to the God of happy. God never called you to happy friends. He called you to a relationship that'll give you a joy. I was worried that was my phone. I think I turned it off. Sounds like mine. He didn't call us to a life of ease. Even though I think being in the flow of the Spirit has an ease about it, doesn't mean it's always easy. And we didn't sign up for easy. We signed up for great. We signed up for awesome. We sign up for something that doesn't look like anything else. You know what holy means? Holy means like nothing else. Separate, different. You want to be holy, you got to look different. God's holy because He's different. There's no one like Him. That's what makes Him holy. And if we want to be holy, the Bible calls us to be holy, then we've got to look different. We've got to allow Him to make us look different from the inside out. Number 3, I'm actually doing all right. I think this is so key, especially in our Aussie culture. She'll be right. Who cares? I don't care. Have I got the accent right? Yeah, redneck culture, did someone say? Hey, don't knock them till you've been one. Where's the motivation come? Where's my motivation come that I wanted the rest of my life to be different? Why should? Well, I don't know, maybe you haven't liked the first part of your life. Well, that's okay. So maybe you want it to change. What if your life's okay? Oh, it's okay. Pretty comfortable. Pretty happy. Why would I change? Well, here's the motivation. I don't think there's any other place to get it. This is what motivates me. Is my goodness, if you get in touch with the love of God, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. It just messes you up. I got messed up by the love of God yesterday, praying for someone. I love it. Just messed me up more. Actually, I found myself saying this to a number of people yesterday. It's interesting that sometimes we've got to get our head out of the road and follow our heart. If you've given your heart to Jesus, sometimes you need to let your heart lead your head. Does that make sense? Because God changes our heart first, then he renews our mind. If you're having trouble getting your mind renewed, you might need to follow your heart a bit more. Because God messes that thing up first, I believe. And the problem is we get so busy and distracted, we don't sit with that. You know, next time that you feel the love of God in your heart for someone, just sit and be messed up by that. It's okay. I love getting messed up by the love of Jesus. Because that's where the rocket fuel comes from my life. That's the rocket fuel, friends. The love of God. That's the motivation. That's why Paul said, you know, without love, you're just like a banging cymbal. I've heard plenty of them before. Clanging and banging, usually in the church. It's like, shut up and position yourself for the love of Jesus. It'll be powerful. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I've got heaps, but 1 John 4:9, this is love, not that we love God. I don't think God calls us to love him. I think he calls us to respond to his love. I can't love God. But when I've encountered his love, I can't help but. Yeah, I think about it. I love my dad and mum and dad to bits. And it's harder to say goodbye to them in Queensland recently. They're 80 years old, and every time I say goodbye to them, I think I may not see them again. That's a powerful place to sit. I love them. You know why I love them? Because they didn't have to feed me. They didn't have to work hard to provide for me. They didn't have to put up with my pathetic crap as a teenager. They didn't have to do any of that. They loved me. They loved me first before I loved them. But you know what? My mum and dad were pretty impressive. They got nothing on God. That's a whole new level. You know why I love God? Because he first loved me. And he loved me good. And he's loved me like no other. And there's no other place I want to be than in the love of God. And this is the other one that motivates me. I think it's another really powerful motivator is God's plan. I don't know. I was a teenager that said, you know, they used to write it on buildings. It's terrible. Life sucks, then you die. I used to say that. What a miserable vision for life. Really. See, let's think. We say some of this rubbish and we need to stop and think about it. You know, it does teenagers good to think about what comes out of their mouth. I wish someone had challenged me with that. Number one, life. Jesus came to give us life in all abundance, not a life that sucks. And he came to give us an eternity, so death is not dying, it's just going to the whole new level. Hallelujah. And I needed that vision when I was 16 years old. I've got it now. What's his good, pleasing, and perfect will? Well, good is good. You know, I think we know what good is. But let me tell you what good isn't. It's what my dad used to call do-gooders. They're people that do good for their own motivation and feel good. And they usually enable people and stuff things up bigger than if they hadn't got involved. So what this means, when it says pleasing, it means pleasing to God. So good is only really good if it's in accordance with God's will and it's pleasing to God. It's motivated by love for God and love for others. See, the most loving thing I can do for some people is say no. But if I'm a do-gooder and I think I just should be doing good, I'll just say yes all the time. I'm not helping anyone, myself or them. But if I'm motivated by the love of God and love for people, then there's times I'll lovingly say sorry, but no. It's not right for me to say yes to that. We need to know the difference. And perfect can be interpreted as complete. And I think the best example of this is Jesus' life when he prayed before he went to the cross, he said, Father, I've done all that you've given me to do. How do you do that? But what gives me freedom, like when you think perfect, Jesus lived a perfect life in a perfect obedience to the Father. But here, if you want a bit of, you know, take the pressure off, the world was still messed up when he left. Okay, so it doesn't mean I have to do everything. It just means I have to do what the Father's guided me to do. I'm not meant to do everything. And it's okay if the world's still a mess when I leave. I've just called to do my part. My part. Jesus was called to do his part. He did it. And on his deathbed, he said, Father, I've done all you've given me to do. Paul was able to say, I've run the race. I've finished the race. I've done, you know, I've done it. Paul had a sense in his spirit. He'd ticked the box. He started late. Still got the... I want to finish with this. I was taught as an apprentice that I shouldn't lend my tools. You know, I was an electrician and I lent some tools out one time and the tradesman, don't lend your tools out because that guy doesn't know how to use them. He's a different trader. He does something else and he'll wreck your tools. And then when you go to use them, they won't be right. They'll be stuffed up. I learned that pliers of electrician need to be in the hands of electrician. You, as a creation of God, needs to be in the hands of a creator. Whose hands are you in? Because he's the only one who knows how to work through you in a way that will bring about his purposes on the earth. We're his tools, in a sense. Well, you know, it's a bad illustration because he loves us. We're more like his kids. But it's a good illustration, as in the wrong hands, we can make a mess. And we get messed up. We get blunted. We get, you know, destroyed, wrecked. We need to make sure we're in the right hands. I want to go back to what's your vision for the rest of your life. Betty Neesmith. Anyone heard of Betty? She's pretty famous. Had a good secretarial job in Dallas when she ran across a problem that interested her. This is a good number of years ago as well. But wasn't there a better way to correct the errors that were made on her electric typewriter? For those of you who remember what they are. Betty had some, praise God for word processing, hey? Betty had some art experience and she knew that artists who worked on oils just painted over their errors. Maybe that would work for her too. So she concocted a fluid to paint over her typing errors. Before long, all the secretaries in her building were using what she then called mistake out, what we now call as liquid paper. What we came to know as liquid paper, she attempted to sell the product, hear this is the part I want you to hear, to marketing agencies and various companies, including IBM, but they turned her down. IBM thought she was off a cracker. However, secretaries continued to like her product, so Betty... This kitchen became her first manufacturing facility. She started selling it on her own. God bless you, Betty. When she sold the enterprise, the tiny white bottles were earning $3.5 million annual profit. This is all what I want you to hear, right? Because I sense, I don't know, this is what God told me before I even got in the room this morning. There'll be people here this morning with regret. Who think they've missed it. And at 18 years of age, I was worried that I was going to miss it. I thought God's will looked something like this.
That you went like that, right? This is God's will, this is my will. And if I stuff it up here, then I can never get back there. For those who were at
Alpha, and you miss a turn, or three, or four, or six, that thing just keeps rerouting. You know what? The Spirit of God is perfect at doing that. Yay. And all we've got to do, no matter how much we've missed a turn, no matter how many turns we've missed, the Spirit of God can reroute us into the center of God's will. I've seen it happen for a 70-year-old man. Amen. So it's not too late. It's never too late. And maybe today is the day you want to say, hey, I want to reroute onto the right track. I want to follow the Spirit of God onto the place I'm meant to be on, because I want to live a life that's full of purpose. I want to live in the love of God who is love. So one other thing I want us to do, if it's okay with the band, I'd love to do the Holy Spirit song. Is that okay? Can we do that one? Is that bad? I just felt like in worship time, we were just getting into it and we finished. Okay, so I want to encourage you to worship. Okay, I'm not going to give you the freedom. I don't want to give you the freedom, sorry, that Tegan gave you. I want you to engage. And if that, I'd encourage you to stand because, you know, firstly, that'll wake you up. And secondly, that, you know, if it helps you to raise your hands, it just means sometimes this is good because it says, I want to receive from you, Holy Spirit. Maybe you want to kneel to show that you want to humbly die to your way of living and get out of control and give God control. Maybe you want to come and kneel at the front, but I want this to be a moment where we do say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here in my heart. To flood that thing so that I can't help but follow you because I'm so full of who you are. I think that's where we want to land because I don't know. I don't know if I've got, actually, you know what? I might have 20 years left on the planet. I'm 49. I might have 30 years left on the planet. I might only have a day left on the planet. But I'd love to make a powerful impact on the planet in that day. We might only have a week left. We don't know. But let's today just make a commitment to make the rest of our lives count for God and live lives full of purpose and full of love, the reason we're put on this planet. So you know what, let's stand. If you want to sit later, you can sit, but let's try and get free in worship and engage with the Holy Spirit. Make this song our own. Come forward for prayer if you need that.